You're alive.
60 beast. Are we recording? Okay, good. All right, we'll call to order the Town of Kiri Beach Historical Preservation Commission for Wednesday, May 5th, 2021. The first item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Well, before we do that, do we have to excuse Tony?
Or? Do we excuse Tony before or after the agenda? I always forget.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
All right, well, let's do the agenda first. Is there a second? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, next item is to excuse Tony. He did call in and said he would not be here tonight for either the Historic Preservation Commission or the Planning and Zoning. So, is there a motion to excuse Tony for tonight?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, next item is adoption of the minutes. So let's go ahead and just take a couple minutes and look at the minutes and see if anybody has any recommended changes.
From the April 7th regular meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, this brings us to public comment. Is there anybody online? No. Okay, we'll close public comment. And again, I'm sure as everybody knows, this is now, we are officially, I'm not sure how you want to comment. We were official in HPC, but now we have a preservation district that is now official. So this is our first HPC meeting with an official preservation district now.
Another way of saying that is council established the downtown preservation historic district through the adoption of the text amendment.
Okay. That's why you're the attorney and use big words and big phrases.
That's what you meant to say.
That's exactly what I meant to say, yeah. All right. Old business. This obviously came up in our discussion in the presentation to the town council. And of course, we've talked about it too, that we've made recommendations to the text amendment with a lot of conversation about, you know, what should be and what should not be administratively approved and so forth. But we put off looking actually and spending time and effort on the design standards until we were officially designated as a historic district. So we are now at that point where I think we do need to look at it, and that is our agenda item 5.1 to see how we want to revise something that we put together really a couple months ago to coincide with where we're at right now in terms of the historic preservation district. So,
you ready to take that?
Yes. Now, just while you're doing this, this actually is a decision that we made. This is not passed on to town council. From what I understand, as a historic preservation commission, the design standards are our decision. Obviously, we have a representative of the council here, but this is not passed forward now to the town council. We actually vote on this and create our own design standards. Is that correct?
By statute, HPC publishes the design standards. So yes, that's correct.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Somewhere along the line, I guess it was the last HPC meeting or PZC meeting where Commander Rousseau, Colonel Rousseau participated, led to one change which shows up in the design standards that I revised in accordance with that discussion immediately after that meeting, and which also is referenced in text amendments to Chapter 15 that Council adopted establishing the district. So the only thing that I did, well, and what was that change? That change was to make all the related documents very clear that ordinary routine maintenance and repair work that did not involve any change, minor or major, in exterior features within that overlay district was not subject to those regulations. So in order to make that clear, we added some text for that in the text amendments, which were adopted last month. And figuring that, or determining that the confusion, as Ms. Zielinski has pointed out several times, has come from the design standard examples of minor work, and the only other thing that I did was revise those examples, and let's look at those. You've got two documents in your, in your packet, in which I've got up on the monitor. This is an extract from the design standards showing the revisions that I made following the meeting involving Colonel Rousseau to make it clear that work not involving any changes did not require any kind of approval in the district. The only other document that you've got in your agenda packet is the black line version of the design standards. You'll notice a new date on for today's date, again referencing the fact that these are being published by this commission. But the only other change, and you won't see it in red in this document, is simply that sheet with the minor, with the examples of minor work. So let's go back to that sheet, and I'll ask any questions you might have, I'll entertain, or if I can add anything else, but that's it. That's all I've done to accomplish that task.
I do have a question, because when I was going through that, then if we could back up from that list, the page prior, just at the beginning.
I'm sorry, Ms. Lindsay, can you be a little more precise where we're
3.2?
The one that's on the screen right now, or in the...
The one, the page prior to that in...
In the black line document?
Yes.
Real quick also, the property in question sold last week.
Property in question.
$1.8 million.
What is it?
The property that citizen in question sold last week.
Okay.
So, Kathleen, what page are we on?
We're on page 3 of the design standards, I think.
Okay. I'm there.
So 3.2. Just the very opening of that. I don't think that was in that, like in that paragraph there, we're not addressing the fact that maintenance is not covered.
Are you talking about paragraph 3.2?
Yes, I am.
And you want something in that initial paragraph?
I was thinking maybe something like minor work on exterior features as defined in chapter 15, maybe is exempt from the COA approval process so long as the minor work does not alter the original design, architecture, or...
Why don't we just do what we did in the text amendments and add a sentence that any work made.
Perfect.
Break it out as minor or major that doesn't result in any change to exterior features is not subject to those regulations.
Sounds great. We just need that clarification. I mean,
is everybody okay with that? I mean, just basically take the same language that we put into the zoning text amendment and just go ahead and put that same sentence or paragraph there. Okay.
Before we leave that, good catch, Ms. Lindsay, as always. Let's just double check that language to make sure. Ordinary maintenance, repairs, and other work which does not involve any change to any exterior feature in the DOD district are accepted from and not subject to these regulations. Correct? Works for everybody?
That works for me. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, based upon that, when I was looking down at this list here of...
Are you looking at the extract now?
Yeah, the minor work on exterior and then giving examples.
The one on the screen?
Yes. I think we should walk through each one of those, if possible, because I get a little confused in terms of... This is obviously designed to give to homeowners or property owners so they can decide whether to come for administrative approval. So when you look at painting which complies with these standards, what does that mean exactly? What are the standards that we have for painting?
Well, you drafted.
Okay. So they are in there, right? Okay. Installation of window...
If we're going to discuss these...
Okay, I think we should go through, because this is a real big issue, is to make sure that we clearly identify what can be administratively approved.
I'll do the best I can.
No, I understand. And this is a living document. I mean, we're not going to have it 100% tonight, but I think we can fine-tune it.
That's fine, but it's probably going to be more up to the commission, because I have not paid any attention to what we're talking about right now.
Right.
But in your terms of your painting standards, you'll see them
in 4.1.
4.1B. Right.
So I'll go back to the extract.
Okay. So I'm fine with that one. Installation of window air conditioners, I think that's fairly obvious.
Excuse me, Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead.
So you're saying that painting that are consistent and harmonious with the district's neighborhood still need a COA approval?
Yes.
Because it seems to me like painting which does not comply with these standards would need to have...
No, that's administrative. That's we're defining minor work that would be administratively approved.
If painting does not result in any change,
yes,
which includes aesthetics and color,
yes,
then it's not subject to these regulations. This is painting which constitutes minor work, therefore it's painting that results in a change to the exterior feature because it's a different color or whatever.
Changing the paint, then. I mean, it's just not clear.
Well, that's why I wanted to raise the issue. So,
they want to paint their house blue again, or do they have to come in for administrative approval?
If the house is blue, and they're painting it the same color blue, there's no change in the exterior features, so therefore these regulations and standards don't apply. But if they're going to paint it a different color, I would take the position that these standards and the regulations do apply. Because it may be minor work, but it's a change from what's there.
Okay.
Can we be specific and say that under painting? Because I was confused about that. And simply say that if the paint is the same, you know, however you want to do it, it's the same color.
No, let's discuss. I've lived with these minor work examples for 4 months now. I would request that the commission give me the language it
needs. Okay. What was the term that you used that to imply that it's if it's the same color? Okay, so all right. Painting which complies with these standards. And then we could put painting which
paint coloring?
Yeah, paint coloring which is the same as the prior paint coloring.
That's getting a little bit.
Okay, painting which complies with these standards.
Which means harmonious and whatever, but
how about painting, comma, differing from the
original color.
Yeah, that's where I was going, but current. I don't know if original means way back.
Right. Current color.
Yeah, yes, I can deal with that. Painting which differs from the current color
yet complies with these standards.
That's a good way, yeah, which complies with these standards, which means it has to be harmonious. So if it's harmonious and a different color, it's administrative.
So,
but if it's the same color, they can just do it.
Well, it's not just colors. Painting which differs from the current colors and painting scheme.
Okay.
While yet, what was the rest of it, Kathleen?
Yet complies with these standards.
Okay. So that's set on the screen. Painting which differs from the, boy, that's terrible print script, isn't it? Painting which differs from the current, I can't even read it. Differs from the current colors and painting scheme, yet complies with these standards, okay?
Right. I personally think B is fine. I think that's fairly straightforward.
So we're on C now, installation of storm windows? Or did you have another?
No, I'm fine with C, I don't know.
D?
D I'm okay with.
E?
E I had a little bit. I mean, if we're asking somebody to put up house numbers, I don't see why that would need administrative approval.
Aren't house numbers a requirement anyway?
Yeah, I mean, they are.
Right, you got all kinds of different styles.
I mean, I don't mind leaving it that way. I just, you know, want to, because the council was, it really wants to make sure, and I know John is very concerned about being inundated with a lot of administrative approvals. So I think we need to be sensitive and try to create a situation where if they're really not doing anything at all, just duplicating what already is there, that they don't have to come see John. But if it really is changing something that's still harmonious, you know, then it's an administrative process.
Well, I just think the commission needs a consensus on
why is John not here? I mean, so some of these things I would like to ask John, actually.
Yeah,
he did, okay. Because I, you know, that's something.
Well, it's like you say, it's a living document. If we're somewhat satisfied with this now,
we can change it next month too.
Yeah.
Because John's the one that's going to have to deal with this. So I really want to have John's input on this stuff because we're defining his work right here, basically.
If I'm not mistaken, both house numbers and mailboxes, I think there's other language. Either at the state or federal level for mailboxes. I could be wrong, but I know that there's a requirement for addresses.
Let's go ahead and get a consensus on the changes that we can.
I'm going to go along with Craig and say let's remove that one because just because it says that I would say they would have to get administrative approval if they were not harmonious with the surrounding area. Because if they are harmonious, then it doesn't even need to be spoken about.
Well, no, compatible and harmonious are not the same thing as no change.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
And if there's a change, you need approval. And the test for that approval is whether it's compatible and harmonious with the area. So I don't think you'd want to take that language out.
How about if we just take out house numbers? I'm just trying to reduce the work for John. You know, I mean, if someone goes to Home Depot and buys some numbers, you know, I don't see.
We haven't gotten down to the application work and all that. We can reduce his work. You know, down the line here. I'm fine with leaving that in.
Okay, that's fine.
So what is the consensus on?
I guess the consensus is to leave that in the way it is.
Yeah, okay. How about F?
F, I'm fine.
And G?
G's fine.
H and I.
I'm fine with those. But J, removal of storm doors and windows which do not feature panels or decorative work. What are we trying to get at there?
I don't know. I'm not even sure where this came from. It might have been something.
I think it was probably, a lot of this stuff came from very early cut and paste stuff from other things. So
I don't know if it's from your pen or my pen or whatever, but that doesn't matter. We can do with it what the consensus wants to do.
I don't mind taking it out.
Why don't we just leave removal of storm doors and windows, which does constitute a change, and just delete the rest of it?
Well, we already have up in C, installation of storm windows and doors. And it seems to me that I don't have any problem with people removing things, removing a storm window. I think that would probably look better,
well,
actually.
Think of the, but if you're removing it, you're changing it.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to make sure we're all clear on that concept.
Right.
The only time that the district regulations and the standards do not apply is if there's not a change. If you take something down that's there, it's a change.
Well, I certainly don't mind that, but let's take out which do not feature panels or decorative work, because I have no idea what that's referring to.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
And removal of metal storage buildings, I'm fine with that.
Uh-huh.
Does anybody want to add anything here that would be an example?
Please, no.
No, I think we got plenty.
Okay. I'm sure that over time, John will come to us and say, well, what about this? What about this? And we'll probably add things in the future. Okay. I think that was the only part of this particular agenda item, was to look at the examples of exterior features.
That's the only thing that
the minor work.
I don't know if there were some other issues that you all wanted to take up.
Are there any other issues in the design standards that anybody wants to take up, or just leave it at this for now?
I addressed my one concern.
Okay. Yeah, the big one I had was painting. You know, when I was looking at this. So, okay, is there a motion to approve the changes to the design standards?
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Sorry.
Any further discussion?
Did you also want this on the agenda next month?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be a continuing agenda item, I have a feeling. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right. New business. Okay, this is kind of based on a conversation, a number of email conversations we had in the last month about procedures and all that sort of thing, since we are now, you know, officially do have a designated district here. First is the status of the HPC vacancies and member applications. During the approval process during the town council, they had a discussion about what the makeup of the HPC should look like. Good discussion. It was decided and voted upon that there would be 7 people, 5 members from the P&Z, and 2 members, of which one of those members has to be from the B1 district, as well as 2 alternates.
One point, Chairman.
Yes.
When we get to PCC, you'll see that those changes are built into the new regs.
Okay. So anyway, the application or the request for applicants went out, what, about 2 weeks ago or something like that? It's gone out a few times. It's on the web page. You know, I see it up there all the time. We only have 1 applicant so far. Okay. I guess there was another one who has expressed interest. That's just kind of an update. I think there was a debate or a discussion as to whether we should have that on the agenda tonight to interview, and it was decided no, we're going to wait until we get more people. So the encouragement is that if you know anybody who would like to apply, because we do have 4 positions, 2 regular and 2 alternate positions, please recommend and have people apply.
Okay.
particularly if you know somebody in the B1 district.
Oh, 7 years.
Now, we had the two other applicants besides Joe. I wonder if we can reach out to them, the applicants for the Planning and Zoning Commission. They're so highly qualified.
Yeah, they were, actually. Yeah.
Involved. Can we just reach out to them?
I mean, that actually is a good idea, because we do have two regular, I mean, this isn't for alternate, we have two regular, one has to be from the B1 district. I don't think any of them were from the B1 district. But certainly we could have one of them as a regular member and two alternate members if we don't get a lot of B1 district people applying.
What if no one from the B1 district applies?
You know, I was thinking...
I brought that up before.
I was thinking about that, actually. Now, who's that?
I can't remember her name. I do know who you're talking about. She came and she was interviewed by the board.
Okay. I personally thought we would have a whole bunch of people applying from the B1 district. So, Joseph, you think we will have somebody from the B1 district applying?
I'm pretty sure we will.
Okay. So anyway, that's just more of an update right now. But let me ask Mr. Eldridge here. Given the way that it was approved that we would have seven members, one of which from the B1 district, what happens if we don't have a member from the B1 district? Does that negate what we're doing?
Then we have to go back and... I'm sorry, not Mr. Eldridge.
You're welcome. Two things. One, you all have to excuse me tonight. This 160D project has really got the best of me, and it's something I've lived with hard for many hours for 2 weeks. So that's where my focus is, and I'm very analytical and very matter of fact, and I'm very foggy on other things. My knee jerk is that's a vacancy that would need to be filled.
Right. But we could still, without a B1, the question, I think, is the same one that Mandy had, too, is if we don't have a B1 member, does that mean we can't vote on things?
No, as long as you have a quorum.
As long as you have a quorum. Okay. All right. Would that be your understanding, too, of the way it was presented?
I think we would probably have to readdress the RFPs for that group, because if we have specifically said in our rules and procedures that it has to be a member of the B1, yes, we would have a quorum to do business. But to ultimately fill our board seats, we have to go by the rules of our procedures. So we would probably have to look at amending those.
How about, it's not something we need to do tonight, but you may want to just kind of look at that and see the language that was presented and see if we do need to recommend to council some very slight language changes.
I think your easiest solution is to drop that limitation.
I don't think that's going to pass council, though.
Was it council requested it?
Oh. Yeah.
I think it may be one of those bridges we have to cross when we get to it, if it ever happens.
Okay. And it might be just a slight rephrasing of that, too,
right.
That will take care of it.
If we get to a point that someone, we just pulling teeth, cannot get someone from that district, then we'll have to address it then.
Okay.
I think living with it now is the right thing to do.
Can we just consider not just an owner, but maybe a business owner? Like, can we open it up to...
that's a good point. If we need to revisit it, well, can you remember to bring that up?
Sure.
Because that would expand it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I think there might be some business owners who would be interested in helping out in that capacity, knowing that they would only have to convene when there is an issue that comes up, so it wouldn't be a time constraint for them very much.
Are we limited to residents on the commission?
That's the current language.
Yeah, so they would have to be residents.
Property
or property owners.
It's residents, period, for B1. D1 is property owner.
Okay. So a business owner that rents wouldn't satisfy that requirement then? Okay.
No, but one possible amendment down the line is property or business owner.
Well, let's, as you said, let's come to that issue when it becomes an important issue. All right, anything more about that? It's more kind of an informative discussion of COA application processes and forms. I thought this is an important thing to put on here because we don't have any. And, you know, here we're talking about administrative approvals for minor things and all that sort of thing. So what... And I have to apologize. I was actually going to do some checking and see what other forms and applications are out there, and I didn't do it. I've been caught up in finals.
So I did have one thought, though, about that, because I think somewhere it says that a letter, the building inspector will issue a letter of approval or denial.
I think your process for administrative approval is laid out pretty well. I don't know about the application form.
My suggestion was going to be, because going to what you were saying earlier, Craig, trying to keep it simple enough, you know, to simplify it for John, that we can come up with a form that has like a very simple form, and at the bottom, we devise the letter. Or, yeah, it could be part of that form, or it could be a separate document, but we can actually create the letter and then have a check approved or denied, and all John would have to do is check
it
and sign his name, because then it is a letter and he's signing his name to it.
So there's an application when they submit for approval, and then we have to have a form letter that John would then check a box.
Correct.
To make his life easier. For a building permit, what's the application look like for a building permit? That would be probably the closest.
It's four pages.
We don't want to do
this. Drafting these things, I didn't save them, and I should have. But I ran across multiple examples of forms for minor work and major work for COAs. So there, I would just Google COA application and forms, and you come up with.
Okay. And again, I apologize. I was going to do that, and I completely forgot.
And I'll volunteer also to look into that for next month.
Okay. All right. I mean, is that okay?
Are emails legally acceptable?
For an application?
Well, the way we would set the form up once you guys come up with the form is we'll actually put it in incognito forms, and then we'll have the availability to fill it out online and hit submit, and it'll go straight to them.
There'd be no cost to an email, where the letter, there would be a small cost.
To mail it, or they can drop it off.
That's another question. Is there going to be a fee?
I was just going to come to that, because actually we talk about a fee in somewhere in the document,
yes,
I'm pretty sure.
It says applications for a COA and payment of any required fee, so you can go either way.
I mean, I personally, if it's a simple one-page form for an administrative approval, I personally don't think there should be a fee. If they're going to apply for something major that has to be reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission, I would see a small fee as being appropriate.
Kathleen, do you remember off the top of your head what our fees are for the tree removal or the landscape permit or the fence permit?
$25.
Yeah, I would see a $25 fee for a COA process, but if it's administrative approval, as you said, you know, fill out a one-page form and say, I want to change my mailbox numbers. I can't see asking people to pay $25 for that.
No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, okay, so we'll work on we'll have that on our next agenda also. Kind of related to that, web links for the HPC. Since technically we are a district now, there's no web page. You know, I mean, there's a web page for other things and stuff like that, which provide links to the design guidelines and application forms and what the boundary of the historic district is and all that sort of thing. What would be the best way to get that up so if people do want to do something, that we can get a link or a web page going on that?
Well, we can add it to our website, but we just need our final document. Like, once all the red line's done and we have final documents, then we can put those on there along with the link to the form.
Okay.
But, I mean, we don't have any final things to put.
But also, we need some language on the webpage that describes what the historic district is, a map that shows the B1 district, you know, I mean, just the normal things that you would expect to make it simple for people to. But you're right, I mean, we need the documents and the links and all that sort of stuff, too.
Two questions about the documents, or two points. Council approves, so is there a self-publishing ordinance somewhere in the offing? Council approved the text amendments last month.
Yeah, they're in your code. That's the handout that everyone received tonight to put in their code book.
So the black line documents exist.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. Second point is this. Jumping ahead to 160D for a minute. I need to revise those documents in light of some of the other 160D documents. So the black line documents that you need for the web link don't exist yet, because they'll exist at the end of June. They exist in this form, but I discovered late this afternoon I've got to change a few things based on some other provisions in 160. Not the substance. For example, we spell out a lot of things about quasi-judicial in the historic district reg. But when we're done at 160D, that's going to be in a separate chapter, so we don't want to be redundant. We'll delete those in the historic district regs, because the need for that is referenced earlier in chapter 12. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. We want to link to that element, but we also, again, we need an application form. We need also the verbiage for the web page that, you know, talks about what the historic district's all about, and, you know, the boundaries, and just kind of make it very simple. So we do need that language too. I'll volunteer, you know, I'm done with finals Friday. So I'd volunteer to kind of maybe get the language, kind of look at what we have, some other stuff, and just get the language for that, and hopefully have that in place so when we do have an application form and all the things, other things, then we can get it all going. Is that okay? You know, I think we're just talking about the issues that now that we're a real district that we need to take care of. So, all right, anything else on that? Okay, last item. Well, actually, there should have been another item on here, too. Resource, and did we decide not to put on the quasi-judicial thing tonight? So we decided not to talk about it.
Yeah, we decided.
Okay, all right, that's it, okay. Resources available from the NC Department of Natural and Cultural Resources. I communicated with the state that, in fact, we are now really a historic district. They were all excited about it. They wanted a copy of the ordinance. I think that's been now sent to them. They also wanted a copy of the map. Has that been sent to them? Okay. They have a really neat web page, by the way, where you can, it's a GIS web page, where you can get on it and you look at every single district, every single historic property in every single district, and in very, a lot of detail, just, you know, narrow down on that map and be able to see the boundaries of that. So that's why they wanted the map, so they can put it on the that. They have some other resources, but again, they sent me kind of a list of the resources they have, but I looked at it, and almost every one of the resources has to do with historic properties, not districts. So I'm not sure. I mean, they sent it also to you, Mandy and Beth. I mean, was there anything on there that you thought might be useful for the...
Not that I really saw.
No, it was all historic property stuff, yeah. So, okay. And I think that's about it. The only other agenda item, which I think is... Actually, there was the other agenda item I talked about, which was the language for Robert's Rules and stuff like that.
Oh, that one, yeah. You'll have to add that to the agenda. I didn't get that one on there.
Okay. Is there a motion to, I mean, we should have done it at the very beginning. I'd like to add one more agenda item, which is the rules of order for the Historic Preservation Commission, and I'm going to do the same thing, obviously, for the PNC. And that is to when agendas need to be published, whether we can talk about things on the agenda, who can add things to the agenda prior to the publication, and all that sort of thing. But I think it's something we need to kind of agree upon. So I would like to add that to the agenda to talk about, if that's okay. Is that fine? Okay.
May I make some points about that before you begin your discussion?
Yeah.
Several things. One, 160D transfer authority for rules of procedure for public bodies back to council. So council is actually adopting the rules of procedure for HPC, DZC, DOA. Point two, I agree that Robert's Rules of Order should be referenced, and we could simply amend the rules of procedure to provide for that. I don't know if it exists in a policy, but even if it does, the policy is going to be rewritten in the next fiscal year. But I don't know if there's, and staff, Mandy can tell you whether there's any provisions anywhere governing the formulation of an agenda, who can decide what goes on there, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have any comments about that. That might exist, or if it doesn't, you can figure it out. And a good place to put that probably is the rules of procedure. The points that I really want to make are as follows. I don't think that, I saw something that made me think perhaps there might be interest in limiting the ability to amend by majority vote at the meeting the agenda for that meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't think that limitation should be entertained. But I will also tell you that even though it's an open question under North Carolina law, the recommendation for the School of Government is not to amend the agenda for a special meeting. But it is very much SOP to be able to amend the agenda for regular meeting by majority vote.
Can you bring up the email that I sent you that had the language that I recommended? As kind of a background on this, I looked at North Carolina, and I did look at the publication by the School of Government. I looked at the appropriate language in North Carolina statutes. I also looked at several other states, too. Because North Carolina is a little squishy on this compared to a lot of other states, which are much more specific about rules and procedures for meetings. So I just had like a couple sentence recommendations here that I would like to recommend. It says, unless specified by North Carolina statute and or Curie Beach Code, that the rule of procedures for meetings follows Robert's Rules of Order. And the reason that Robert's Rules of Order is a standard, in fact, in many states that's required. I mean, this language actually comes out of some other states. That Robert's Rules of Order is a standard way of proceeding with meetings. However, Robert's Rules of Orders don't have requirements for publications of agendas and these sort of things. So that's why I put on the recommendation that unless specified by North Carolina statute and or Curie Beach Code, that the procedures for meetings follows Robert's Rules of Orders. The agenda must be published. I put 72 hours. I don't know what the rules are on that. Is there a rule in North Carolina for...
There's no rule.
See, many states it's a 72-hour rule.
Well, I'm going to disagree with the 72-hour rule.
But that's fine. I just put it on there because I saw it in some other states.
Well, I'm going to strongly disagree with your 72-hour rule. Because as the clerk and as the one preparing agendas, we don't always get what we need to go on the agenda.
I'm guilty.
It's not, I'm just saying, it's not just you.
We've all been guilty.
Everybody's been guilty of it. Everybody's been guilty of it. And when Beth was out on maternity leave and I was buried with parking, the start of paid parking, some things, I sent you the agenda like literally a day before your meeting. You all knew what was going to be on the agenda because you suggested it. But as far as me getting it to you published, I was swamped. I mean, just point blank, we were swamped in this building that week.
Let me provide why this, I think, is a concern. First of all, when you look at the rules for HOA meetings, they do have published agendas. I mean, they actually, under North Carolina statute for HOA meetings, I believe that they're stricter than for commission meetings. But that's not the real issue, because I saw time and again where if there's that people are very worried about having something on the agenda that the public doesn't know about with sufficient time. And there are a lot of lawsuits in that type of situation where, let's say, we put something on the agenda at the last minute, or we can add something to the agenda during a meeting and the public isn't here and they file a lawsuit. And generally, from what I could tell when I did my research, those people will win on that particular lawsuit if they're claiming that it wasn't an open meeting then, you know, basically. So I personally, my own personal opinion is that we should have something that says we can't change the agenda once it's published. Now, I don't care if it's...
In that case, then I'm going to stand behind Mandy and say then it's the responsibility falls upon us to give her the agenda item and items. Let's say, if you're saying 72 hours prior, then we should give her the agenda items no later than a week prior to our meeting to give her Beth the opportunity to actually print the agenda.
Well, I agree. And look at my number four. My number four deals with that. After the publication of agenda, no additional agenda items may be discussed in detail or voted upon unless it's an emergency and or urgent matter. And a majority or two-thirds vote, I said as a Brown's Act, you know, we wouldn't use that. But
you just amended your agenda in this
meeting. Yeah. I know we did, but that, and that wouldn't be allowed.
And you wouldn't be able to change the date of your meeting. If you needed to add that, you wouldn't be able to add it to change the date of your
meeting. Well, no, because you do allow, and the language of an urgent matter is that you can change dates for future meetings and things like that. And so you can have small discussions. This is standard for most states. I mean, North Carolina is very sloppy on this.
We're in North Carolina.
Yeah, I know we are, but I think we're...
I don't see council agreeing to changing the rules of the procedures to say that they can't amend an agenda.
Oh, this is for us. This isn't for council.
They approve your rules of procedures.
160D transfer the authority.
Yeah, no, I know, but this doesn't bind the council to do things. This is how we act.
Council adopts your rules of procedure.
Yeah, for us.
Yeah. So,
but that's what I'm saying. We're not binding council to follow the same rules. This is
Mandy. Council will never agree to two and four.
If I was a council member, I absolutely would agree to that.
Well,
we'll take a vote on this, but.
Excuse me one second. We did not vote to add this discussion to our agenda, so
yeah.
I would like to ask for consensus to table this to next month, where we can talk about it more formally and more...
Well, right now it's formal because we don't have a policy. I mean, this is exactly the problem that we have, because we wouldn't be able to talk about this if we had rules such as this right here.
Well, I still want to talk about it.
We never adopted the agenda. We never amended the agenda.
I'd just like to table this conversation.
You waited until the end of the meeting to amend the agenda to add that.
I mean, I don't mind if we put this off, but I think it's something we ought to discuss.
It's something that we can discuss, but it should be on the agenda.
If it gets put off, it gives everybody a chance to research it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I put in hours of research on this, believe me. This is not just a flat, and this is coming out of an issue that we had a flurry of email exchanges that I think we need to have rules and procedures for these sort of things. And also as to who can put items on the agenda. You know, so as my number three right here is any individual member of the commission, the attorney, or town council representative to a commission may ask the town clerk to put something on the agenda. It's just clarifying issues that have come up in the last month that some of the people here are privy to and other people haven't been privy to these conversations. But I certainly don't mind putting this off till next month.
Yeah, because, you know, it's 5 to 7 and we still have our P&Z meeting, and I think you gave us enough food for thought that if we put this item on next month's agenda, give us time to prepare for the discussion.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, but I just think that once an agenda is published, we should stick to the agenda, unless it's an emergency or urgent matter.
May I make some comments that might be beneficial as you all consider this up to the next meeting. I understand your points. I'm not privy to that particular incident. But I don't think even if I was, it would change my opinions about 2 and 4, the 72 hours and the limitation on amending the agenda. So my points are with those positions in mind. Number one, the open meetings law in North Carolina doesn't require at all anything along the lines that 2 and 4 in your email articulate. There's no such requirements. There's nothing about agendas in the open meetings.
No, I read it very carefully. There isn't.
There is a reference by David Lawrence to recommending not changing the agenda for a special meeting notice, and Lawrence being the expert, I think that's a good thing to follow. But no requirements about agendas in the open meetings law. The minutes are required, and they are designed and intended and required to provide a good summary of what occurred in the meeting. To amend the agenda would have to be by a motion, and the concerns that you have articulated about the public being left in the dark, those would be legitimate items if relevant and applicable to the discussion on that motion prior to taking a vote on it. So I don't know that an artificial 72-hour deadline serves any better purpose than the public body's discussion of that particular motion to amend, where the same concerns can be raised. I will also tell you, I've been representing towns and public bodies for 25 years, and I've never, ever, ever seen a limitation on the ability to amend the agenda of a regular meeting at that meeting. With respect to the 72 hours, I would simply ask, and again, with the exception of this incident that I don't know anything about, has this been a problem for any of the public bodies in this town about getting the agenda in a timely fashion in order to be prepared for the meeting? Because remembering that the administrative staff of this town is extraordinarily small for the amount of responsibility and administration that goes on, and remembering also too that life being what it is, we have to deal with things like the COVID situation, like the parking which came out of left field in a hurry as a big ball, or like 160D, which I knew would involve a lot of work, but nowhere did I anticipate the amount of work that it did require. So I think you have to have some flexibility with respect to that artificial 72-hour deadline. So those are the comments I'd ask you to keep in mind as you consider this agenda item next month.
Okay. Well, as counter to that, I would certainly recommend that that you look at the HOA requirements, which is under North Carolina statute, which actually is far stricter and do have rules similar to what we have right here. You know, so they do recognize that because of the lawsuits. And in addition, you can also look at many other states which have rules exactly like what I'm recommending right here because of the problems. So probably the most referenced, including referenced by the School of Government, is the Brown Act, which is in California, which is the oldest of the Sunshine Acts. And they're very specific about agendas and publications and who can put things on the agenda for exactly these reasons. I mean, I personally don't care, to be honest. I do think, number one, the Robert's Rules of Order is a good one. I just try to suggest things because I do think there should be structure, you know, in these type of things. So it's, anyway, I've said what I want to say. So, okay, so this is going to be tabled to next item or to next month? Okay.
Did you all vote on that?
They made a motion, but no one voted.
I asked for consensus. I didn't know we had to. It wasn't officially on the agenda anyway. We're just having a conversation, so I just said we could table it.
And by the way, here's a really good, interesting thing, is because I did ask to have it put on the agenda, and it didn't end up on the agenda. So there's a lot of confusion about these type of things. So anyway, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Do we need to take a break, or we jump right into it? It's seven, a couple minutes to seven.
Yeah,